Let us be in prayer. We do pray that you change our hearts, O God. Through your Spirit, speak to us that our faith might be nourished, that we might grow in our service in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Since 1926, this day on the Christian calendar has been known as Christ the King Sunday. The comment about this was that Pope Leo at that time felt that there needed to be emphasis on the lordship and the centrality of Christ for the life of the world, and so the Roman Catholic Church established this particular Sunday, the last Sunday on the Christian calendar every year, as Christ the King Sunday. Over the years, the name has changed a bit, partly through ecumenical conversations, and so it's often called Reign of Christ Sunday. Now, I have to confess that I'm happy with the renaming Reign of Christ. In America, we don't have a king. In fact, we fought a revolutionary war to get out from under the rule of a king. So I'm not sure what connotations of kingship carry in our particular context in this time. I confess that I'm uncomfortable about king language in the Bible, too, and in talk about Jesus. In any of the praise songs that we sing in the praise service on Sunday, king appears often. God is king. Jesus is king. The word conveys someone who is powerful and high and lifted up, seated on a throne. The kingly Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly throne room, surrounded by angels in white and in gold, majestic, glorious, elevated in glory, unapproachable in holiness. King is found in our hymns. We sang one of them this morning. Rejoice, the Lord is King. All creatures of our God and King. Ride on, King Jesus. The King of love, my shepherd is. And we'll soon be singing, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Yes, I understand the metaphor, but it's not a comfortable one for me. If this is Christ the King, or Reign of Christ Sunday, though, why in the lectionary is today's gospel reading Luke's rendering of Jesus' death on the cross? The passion narrative. Why now? Isn't that a passage more suited to Good Friday? Of all passages in the Gospels, why this one? Why do we find ourselves at the darkness of the cross and not at the victory of the resurrection or the glorification of Christ at the ascension? If we are celebrating Christ the King or the reign of Christ, why are we hearing about an ignominious death on Jerusalem's garbage heap rather than an enthronement in highest heaven? Well, maybe it has something to do with a question asked in a poem by Alice McKenzie, a professor of preaching and worship at Perkins School of Theology at Southern Methodist University, who asks, what kind of king is this? What kind of king is this who was crucified at a place called the Skull with a criminal on his left and a criminal on his right? What kind of king is this who forgives rather than executes judgment on those who contest his power? What kind of king is this who allows himself to be disrespected and abused without speaking a word in his own defense? What kind of king is this who allows even criminals to mock him without putting them in their place? What kind of king is this whose thoughts are on others rather than his own pain at the peak of his undeserved suffering? How can a crucified king bring life? How can a forgiving king right the wrongs done to us and that we have done to others? How can a peaceful king end the wars that rage within us and around us? How can a compassionate king find the strength to lead us? Think with me about the expectations of the people to whom we grant authority over us. Reflect on the language used in the recent campaigns for public office by candidates on all sides, a lot of it really awful. How many times did you hear the word fight? How many times did candidates debate how they would bridge the differences between cultures and political interests at risk to their own potential success at the polls? How many described how they would use the power of office to bring people together rather than drive them into conflicting camps? We heard a lot about how they would exercise the power of office. Power. Is that what being a king is all about? Is that what Jesus is all about? What kind of king is Jesus? What kind of power does a king Jesus have? Maybe we should turn to today's reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Do these words describe a king, Jesus? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. My friends, that is as complete a Christology as one can find in the New Testament. Spend time with those words as you contemplate the meaning and the importance of Christ in your life, for the church and for the world. And maybe we ought to also turn to Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For me, those words described the kind of king that Jesus is, the servant king, before whom we bow in respect and devotion because he first bowed before us in humble service. The servant king, who goes out of his way to heal those who are broken in body and mind and spirit, who crosses the barriers of tribe and tradition to bring wholeness to the human family, who welcomes the lost and the rejected and the excluded and the stranger, who rejoices in restoring people to relationship with God and with one another, whose whole life is given for the sake of offering new life and living hope. Is that the kind of king you want to have central authority over all creation? Is that the kind of king you want to have first place in everything? When? When will the reign of Christ begin? New Testament scholar John Dominic Crossan reminds us that on Reign of Christ Sunday, we are invited to remember that the kingdom of God, or the reign of God, to which Jesus constantly pointed, is as fully available now and always as it was 2,000 years ago. The question that remains each Reign of Christ Sunday is whether we will choose to live here and now as if the one who reigns is not Caesar, but God. If so, Reign of Christ Sunday is a day for you and me to take the next steps in faith from wherever we are right now to increased faithfulness and service with Christ, the servant king, as people known as Christ United Methodist Church. Christ United Methodist Church. May it be so. Amen.
Perhaps faith is the highest expression of trust. It's not easy to look at all that we are and all that we have and all those we love and basically let go and place them into God's hands. But that's why this church, this community of support is so important. We stand together in our commitment to open our lives and to extend God's reach with love and compassion for the healing and renewing of the world around us. I invite you to offer yourself and your gifts this morning and also your commitment in the way of your pledge of support for Christ Church, where we share God's purpose that all life should flourish. God, surely the days are coming when your love and compassion will touch every life. Use us and these gifts of our lives to make a difference for others. Amen.